Welcome, everybody, to the Kanatics Smoke and Mirror Hour show. This is Sebastian, your host, and we have a very exciting show for you guys today. It's been a while since we've been on the air, but we are very excited. We have a special guest, and we have a few things to talk about before our guests. The show today will be centered on Colorado, what's going on in Colorado, and yeah, there's a lot going on in Colorado right now. So we wanted to make sure everybody's up to date, everybody's understanding the issues that Colorado is facing and what's going to happen next year in Colorado on the at the legislative session. And, you know, kind of every state have goals for their session. And we'll talk about with Jason Worth a little bit later on today about what Colorado goals are for next year and what do they want to do to change the cannabis program in the States. But before that, let's talk about a few other things. The first thing we want to talk about is the debate last night. So this is a political show, so we can talk about the debate. And honestly, the debate was a little lackluster from a cannabis point of view. I mean, it was in Boulder, Colorado. So everybody, you know, was hoping or figure out then we will get some cannabis question. But no, that did not happen. We had one quick question to one of the candidates and to Governor Kasich from Ohio, but he kind of did not even answer it, just saying that drugs were bad, did not say cannabis or heroin or, you know, coke or anything. He just said drugs are bad, and that's all he said. So after that, you know, he started talking about something else, and nobody else got to answer that question, so we don't know much more about the candidates. Now, one of the future shows when we will do, we will go to all the candidates, both Republican and Democrat, one by one, and we will examine their position. We will check what they say in the past about cannabis. We will check how they feel now about cannabis, and you know, we'll come short to make an endorsement, but we will definitely let you know who is a friend of the movement, who is not, who wants to help patients all over the country, and who actually wants to stop the program and make patient and cannabis illegal everywhere, meaning then, you know, going after the legal states. So we'll talk about this in the next show. We probably do one show for the Republican candidate because there's so many of them, but the longer we wait, the more they will be dropping out. But we'll still probably have about 10 or so. And then we'll do one show with some of the Democrat candidates. Now, that'd be a lot easier and a lot faster. But talking about the Democrat candidate, something kind of exciting happened yesterday with Bernie Sanders that came out and said that he wanted to end the federal marijuana ban altogether. So there were a lot of questions. There's been a lot of things about putting cannabis on Schedule 2, Schedule 3, moving it down, doing more research. And Bernie Sanders yesterday just said, nope, you know what, we're not even going to do that at all. We're just going to take it all the way out of the scheduling. I don't want to schedule it. It's going to be regulated like alcohol and tobacco, and we're going to let it up to the states to decide how they want to handle it and what they want to do. So that was definitely a big moment because that's the first time we have a mainstream candidate, and I know some people I might get some slack for that. Some people might consider Rand Paul a mainstream candidate, but, you know, he's polling at 2%. So 2% is really not a mainstream candidate for me. He really doesn't have a shot. I mean, we've got to be all realistic here to get the Republican nomination, and you probably have more chance to be dropping out any days now. However, Bernie Sanders has a chance. You know, it will be tough for him to beat Hillary Clinton. We all know that. But so he's a mainstream candidate, and for once, a mainstream candidate saying that they want to remove altogether cannabis, you know, Martin O'Malley, the other candidate, say he wanted on Schedule 2, but Bernie Sanders came out and said, no, you know, it should be regulated. We have too many people in jail for marijuana offenses. We have too many people that are using it, too many patients, and it's working for them. Let's just let the state regulate it and decide what they want to do. So we got to understand that doesn't mean that it would be legal overnight in every state. But it just mean that the state could say, okay, I want to get cannabis legal in my state, and the federal government would not interfere with that. It would also help all the people in the cannabis industry right now who are having a lot of issues with getting banking approved. Banking approved has been, you know, it's been really difficult for people to get the banking. So that would help everybody, and we'll talk more about Bernie Sanders in the show that is about the Republican, the Democrat show, not the Republican. Bernie Sanders is a Democrat. So we'll talk more about this in one of the future shows. But one thing we have to talk about today is the National Cannabis Summit coverage. That was a conference that took place in Denver, and we were there. Millennium Grown Broadcast Network was there. And we'll be launching an interview and a broadcast really soon. We're finishing up, and everything will be online extremely soon, and you'll be able to get some extremely good information from the show and some great interviews. We do want to thank the broadcast sponsor for the show, Green Man Cannabis, American Cannabis Partners, Kenyon Cultivation, United Patient Group, Hemp Plements, Hemp Inc., Flowering Hope Foundation, Women Grow, and of course, a shout to all the veterans and the Weed for Warrior Project and Magical Butter, which I know on the Cannibal Run, and I believe they just left Phoenix. If you don't know about the Cannibal Run, it's an initiative started by Magical Butter and Gavin Angel to promote awareness of PTSD in the veteran community. And they left from California. They stopped in Colorado. They stopped all over the place. And they were in Phoenix, I believe. And they are coming east. They are coming east to the ultimate goal is Washington, D.C. on November 11. They will go to the White House and try to raise some awareness there and try to see what we can do for the veterans and to give our veterans a little bit better access to healthcare for one, but also mostly to cannabis, because we all know that PTSD, cannabis is very beneficial to PTSD, but unfortunately, it's not something that is allowed for most veterans to use right now. So that's what Garen Angel and the Cannonball Run team are doing. They have a couple more stops on the way. I think Nashville is one of them. But they will be finished in Washington, D.C. on the 11th of November. That's when they will be done. So other than that, if you want to listen to us, we are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. We are all over the place, actually. And one place we are on is millenniumgrown.com is our website. You can find the archive of the older shows, and you can listen to the new shows. So that's a great website. You can find a little bit more about the host. If you always wonder who is talking, you can listen to that, and you can find out more and read the bios of all the hosts. Another exciting thing is Millennium Grown Broadcast Network was nominated for the most creative marketing initiative in the Colorado region of the CANS Award. The CANS Awards are very popular in Colorado, and they have a ceremony on the 10th of December. So if you want to vote for us, for Millennium Grow, that would be greatly appreciated. And you can go to canawards.com. That's CANNAWARDS.com, and you can vote for us right there, and hopefully we'll get one of the awards. That would be great. We are also on Twitter at Millennium Grown. That's a Twitter handle, so make sure to check your Twitter and follow us on Twitter, and we will follow you back. So we really appreciate that. And now we are going to move on to what's going on in Colorado. So we have quite a few things to discuss today about Colorado, and we have a guest, a very good guest with us. We're very happy to have him calling in the show today. That's going to be really good, and we're going to get some great information. His name is Jason Worth, and he's a director of the Southern Colorado Cannabis Council. He started in policy reform as a teenager, and about 20 years ago, his primary focus shifted to hemp and cannabis. During that time, Jason worked with many nonprofit organizations, and he also formed something called Overgrown, which is a group of advocates for many organizations, and they go to D.C. every year on 420 to fight cannabis prohibition on the federal level. I know we do a lot of things over here in Colorado. We do a lot of things in many states, but at the end of the day, we have to get some federal movement. We have to get some impact on the federal level, because that is going to be what really makes the main difference, is to get the feds to agree with us and to kind of loosen up their prohibition of cannabis. So Jason and his group every year go to D.C. on 420 and try to raise awareness to cannabis prohibition. Jason joined the Southern Cannabis Colorado Council in 2010. He was first the media and legislative director for 3 years, and then in 2014, he became the executive director. He sat on the governor task force, and since that time, he has represented the council at the Capitol in political realm. So Jason is very involved with everything that's going on in Colorado, and he's going to be able to keep us up to date with some of the new development. So Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. We really appreciate it. So the first thing I wanted to talk to you about today is a few weeks ago, there was some kind of – it got really confusing, I think, in Colorado and outside of Colorado. There were some kind of policy changes or maybe proposal that the pain, chronic pain is one of the qualifying conditions in Colorado for people not aware of that. And there was some talk about the pain being getting a little bit harder to get a doctor to sign because a doctor would have to be a pain specialist. And it honestly freaked out a lot of people, but I think there were a lot of confusion. So can you tell us a little bit more about that and what exactly is going on? Are they trying to take pain away from the qualifying condition, or what's going on?
Sure. Let me approach that in a couple of different steps for you and your listeners. First and foremost, I think the most important thing that everyone knows is, you know, as of now, the letter that came out, it was actually sent to, I believe, all physicians from the medical board here in Colorado. And absolutely, you hit it on the head. There was a lot of confusion around the letter. You know, the intent of the letter, in the opinion of my board and our attorneys, is it's sort of like a suggestive, like a best practices type email/letter. And with that, you know, in reading through it, a lot of words really caught my eye. At first, I had the same opinion that, oh, wow, what are we looking at now? But again, when I went back and read through it, I realized that, hey, wait a second, this, you know, isn't saying it's enacting anything. As a matter of fact, it says it's not. So, you know, this is a topic that we've worked on many times. To digress a little bit, there's absolutely a push by some of the organizations here in the state, a few of the politicians, to just absolutely kill medical. That being said, obviously, for reasons of revenue, there's more money to be made on the recreational side. But that being said, you know, the majority still protects patients and their rights. So what we see is a continued effort to come after chronic pain, to come after caregivers, and really to come after patients' rights in general. Our concern, I guess, moving forward with this letter is, you know, should a doctor be referred, obviously they have to go before a review panel. And our concern is that this letter could then be used against them, if you will, as sort of leverage to pull their license.
Yeah, so that's why I guess a lot of concern came from the doctor side. We know a few doctors. We had a show with Dr. Geddes that called in the show right after that proposal came out. And you know, there's a lot of people that are worrying. And as you said, I think the problem is we have seen precedent, not in Colorado, but in Washington, for example, state of Washington, that had a medical program and then had a recreational program. And then they passed Proposition 502, I believe, that pretty much more or less kills the medical program. I think you hit it on the head saying, you know, it's because of the revenue. And of course, states make a lot more money on a recreational program because the tax is higher. But is that something that we have to worry about in Colorado right now?
Absolutely. That's something that every patient and caregiver should, and owner for that matter, should be very vigilant about. The reason I throw owners into the mix, while some of them are pushing, you know, for the rec side and to just do away with medical, I think most of our owners see the bigger picture in that, you know, the only protection that owners here in Colorado have is under Amendment 20. So if HB 1284, which we created our medical, you know, dispensary model, if that were to ever sunset, then they would have to fall back on the protections of Amendment 20. So all of these efforts, you know, that are continued against patients and caregivers in the end could also affect owners. You know, the reason I say absolutely is, you know, I hate to use the word attack, but at this point I think that's really what these efforts are. You know, just in the last couple of years, we've dealt with, I believe, three different letters that have come out from, you know, the CDPHE, which is the health department here in Colorado, and then also the medical board. And then, you know, if you look at our legislative efforts, you know, I would argue all day that the caregiver bill, it was a great way to go after medical. You know, they took away caregivers' rights, essentially, and patients' rights. Where a caregiver used to be able to treat five patients with up to 99 plants apiece, now they have a hard limit of 99. So they've already, in that regard, they've already sort of taken away a patient's ability to access medicine. Unfortunately, you know, I would caution everyone to be very careful as to who you support and know what kind of agenda they're pushing. Most of the cannabis industry groups that I work with at the Capitol actually supported that effort. It's pretty blatant in my view that, you know, it was done so because their members are absolutely always looking for more profit. The great thing about our group is, yes, we do represent owners in recreational and medical, but, you know, I'll say all day that we represent the majority as opposed to the bigger owners. And our owners have always made it very clear not to go down that path and to make sure those rights are protected.
No, that's great because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's about the patient. I mean, you know, for us, at least it's about the patient. But unfortunately for many people, it's about the profit. And we've seen that. And I was actually at a hearing a few months back when there was a caregiver hearing. I was there with some people from the Flowering Hope Foundation and Jason Cranford and some of those people there.
Sure.
And it was scary for those parents. I mean, you know, a lot of those parents were medical refugees and moved from other states and to get access to medicine in Colorado. And all of a sudden, we're telling them, well, you know, your caregiver is going to have to pick just five of you, and only five of you is going to get meds. And so it was really scary, you know. After a little while in the hearing, they say it wasn't going to apply to anybody under 18 because technically the parent can only be the caregiver, the primary caregiver for a kid. So that was kind of, you know, a little relief for some of the parents. But for adults, for our patient, that was definitely a big hit. And it seems to me that they keep on coming and coming. I was also at a hearing with the PTSD, when PTSD was tried to be added to a condition. And
sure.
And that was very, I mean, I was there, you know, all day sitting there and listening to testimony after testimony of, you know, people on the verge of suicide that was saved by cannabis or, you know, rape victim. And it seemed like the panel on the board just did not really even care. I mean, I don't think we could have had testimonies for 5 days in a row, and I think their mind was already made. What I found really strange about that, I don't know if you can comment about that a little bit and how it works, but my understanding was when the scientific panel actually recommended to the full board to add PTSD as a qualifying condition, and the full board went against the wish and the research of a scientific panel. Is that kind of what happened? You know?
You, pretty much, right on. You know, I should give credit where credit is due. Dr. Wolk, who had basically the health department, it absolutely endorsed it as well. And, you know, that's exactly what they did. You know, I don't think it's any secret to a lot of us here that our governor is not very friendly to our industry. He likes to paint a great picture publicly, but then when you're working at the Capitol with his cannabis staff, they push agendas that are completely different than their public statements. So I think a good thing to keep in mind here as to where this is coming from is just right there. These are all executive, or these departments are under the executive branch. So, you know, it's pretty blatant when you go into a hearing, like you mentioned, and you can just tell even from facial expressions where we're going to be at the end of the day. You know, it's something that we've got to get past, whether it's, you know, when Hickenlooper retires, our governor, or, you know, hopefully he comes around. Our organization, obviously, we have two full-time lobbyists and one part-time, And, you know, we work with the governor's staff, and really we work with everyone on the positive things, but there's a lot of issues like this where they just really have to at some point give up the battle, if you will.
Yeah, it's you know what's funny, or not funny, that's not the right term, but what's strange for most people is if you're looking at this from an outside of Colorado point of view, you know, you see Colorado as this great state, and it's a great state, but you see Colorado as a great state as far as there's access to medicine, there's doctors that are willing to help you, it's super easy to get what you need when you get there, you know, the patients are protected. But when you really get to Colorado and you really dig deep into the program and look at some of the history and look at some of the program, you realize that it's not really the case. And I don't know if I want to go as far as saying there's a war on the patient, but I think we're pretty close to that if we're not already there.
Well, I'll go ahead and say that for you. You know, as someone who's at the Capitol full time, it's very unfortunate in my mind. You know, over the last 3 years, we've had a list of very productive bills we've wanted to run, but literally we've been so busy trying to protect patients and caregivers that we haven't had time to do so. You know, in talking about the caregiver bill, Senator Aguilar, the prime sponsor, I actually took her an alternative bill last year that would have addressed every single concern that they listed as a need to run this bill, and she included none of it. So right there told me there was something bigger at play than, you know, concern over public safety or whatever the claim was at the time. You know, it's something where we all, patients and individuals included, and even our family who support us, we all have to be very vigilant. You know, it's very important, to support the folks who are there full-time working, but it's also important to be there. As you mentioned, you've been to a few hearings. It's, you know, and I realize that most people work, so it's not easy to get out during the day. But try to show up for hearings to testify. Definitely send emails, phone calls. People tend to think that, you know, politicians don't listen, but I can't tell you how many times I meet with politicians one-on-one that say, you know, I really got flooded with emails and it's made me change my mind or at least made me consider. So, you know, I really can't encourage that enough. And again, you know, it's very important to know what group is doing what. I hold no punches in saying that some of my colleagues I don't agree with and I feel that they're pushing the wrong agendas. And too many people blindly support them and the dispensaries that belong to their organizations. And, you know, when we're supporting the people pushing these agendas, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, and that's a very good point. I mean, you know, especially when you're looking at some patients, sometimes patients obviously are people with medical problems or they will not be a patient. And they might not have the time to do all the research. So they might be falling into the trap of just reading something on the internet or finding reading something from a group that do not have a best interest at heart, that just there for the money and not really doing a lot of the research because they can't for time or physical reason or, you know, or whatever it may be. So this is very important, I think, to get the message and to make sure groups like yours are represented. Let's shift just a little bit now and talk about Colorado Springs. Now, my understanding is Colorado Springs is a little bit different than Denver as far as, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when Amendment 64 passed, it was left up to the counties to decide if they wanted to allow a recreational dispensary in their county. Is that correct?
Counties and cities. So they both have the option.
Okay. So then I just found out one day, kind of just talking to some people, and I was surprised to find out that Colorado Springs does not allow the recreational cannabis.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting, being the second largest city in Colorado. And, you know, if you're in Denver, it's pretty much a dispensary, you know, in very few miles of everybody's house.
Sure.
And, you know, it's not quite like a Starbucks in every corner, but it's definitely available if you want it. And then in Colorado Springs, it's only medicinal. So Colorado Springs, to me, that seemed like when they kind of always been, I don't want to say against it, but it's almost kind of like, well, Amendment 20 passed. We didn't have a choice, so we dealt with it. But the second we have a choice, we decide not to back it up. from Carlos, maybe I don't want to use more conservative for sure, but saying maybe less cannabis friendly. Is that kind of you saying what you're seeing out of Colorado Springs?
You know, I believe, again, we'll give some credit where credit's due. I believe there's a paradigm shift happening there. Historically, absolutely. You know, it's been one battle right after another down there. To go back to 2010, after 1284 passed, each city had the option, or I'm sorry, let me digress. The Springs, basically, we put on the ballot to allow, to either not to allow them. And, you know, that's an effort that our organization sort of spearheaded, and we just barely won the vote. You know, there's good and bad. I'll say all day that until recently they've been really good with the medical program. In the beginning, you know, they definitely went after some caregivers. But as time went on, I think it became more of a commonplace, you know, people saw the sky wasn't falling. These days, really, I think as far as the goes, I think the attitude has changed greatly. I think and I'll say the county as well, the city council and county commissioners are just a little slow to catch up there. But again, I think that I'm seeing, you know, with what happened this last Tuesday down there, in my mind, it seems to be a glimmer of hope. So.
Good, and we're going to talk about this in just a second, because that's kind of the last thing that just happened, the last development. So my understanding was the panel there at the county level put a moratorium, which is pretty much on hold. They put everything on hold for about 6 months, saying there couldn't be any more cannabis clubs opening, and there couldn't be any more new medical dispensary, grown operation, or processing facilities for 6 months in Colorado Springs area. And so that was, I believe, a couple of weeks ago. And then you just say this past Tuesday there was some development. So can you kind of run us a little bit to the history of what happened with this whole deal?
Yeah, sure. To go back a few months before that, even the county has passed basically a ban on clubs. So if you're in unincorporated El Paso County, you wouldn't be able to open a club legally. Well, per their regulations, the city itself, they haven't actually passed the moratorium yet. They have to do one more vote, which will be on November 10th.
Okay.
But what they've done is they have enacted a 6-month moratorium on new recreational cannabis clubs. So any club that's currently in existence, it will not affect them. On the medical side, they originally came out with a hold on everything, and by everything, I mean if you're an existing owner, you wouldn't be able to sell your business, you wouldn't be able to expand your grow. God forbid, if a fire or something happened, you wouldn't be able to move, to transfer your license. So the glimmer of hope I mentioned, you know, our organization and some of my colleagues, a couple of other organizations, pushed very hard in the 2 weeks for them to amend that. So that it didn't affect existing owners. And then on Tuesday, they did come out with an amendment that, you know, allowed expansion and it allows transfer of license. So that's definitely a step in the right direction. You know, a few years ago, I would say with confidence, we would not have gotten that.
Good, good. So Colorado Springs is, when did you say the last vote or the final vote on this is going to take place?
It'll be on November 10th. And, you know, I can't say 100%, but my assumption, since they amended it, is they will probably take public testimony. So that would be a great time for people to show up. You know, their city council meetings are at 1 p.m. at City Hall there in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, no, that's great. Absolutely. We'll promote that on the network before then for sure and some of the other shows. So November 10 at 1 p.m. City Council in Colorado Springs, we're going to need a patient and caregiver and everybody to pretty much show up to make sure that the patient rights are respected and make sure Colorado Springs is not going down a road of prohibition, because that's the second largest city in Colorado. We just can't have that.
I'm sorry, I should have mentioned what they're looking to do with this moratorium is really take a step back and create a work group. And with that work group, I think they want to look at zoning and just, you know, kind of rework it, if you will, make sure everything's working out. You know, I would say it's probably not needed, but at the same time, if it's going to appease the fears and create a better relationship with the city, that's something we would support all day.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, you know, it's politics. Sometimes you have to do things and you don't think I need it, or you don't really, really want to do it, to just look at the bigger picture. So
sure,
that does make sense. So now let's talk, if you got just a few more minutes, let's talk about next session and some of the goals, some of the things you want to see pass, or at least, you know, discuss, and some, what does the Southern Colorado Cannabis Council is, are you guys pushing any legislation? Are you pushing any candidate, endorsing anybody, trying to get anybody out of office? You know, just tell me a little bit about that if you can.
Well, we, as an organization, what we do for elections normally is do a voter's guide. You know, we steer away from hard endorsements, and the reason we do that is we absolutely work with both parties. You know, there's sometimes where one side actually is more supportive than the other, and it will surprise you constantly. But that being said, you know, I think next year is going to be busy again. We always factor in a little bit of time for the battles that I've talked about today. But we're working with Representative Kit Rupe on a bill to regulate the social clubs, the cannabis clubs. That's going to be a big step forward. We're actually looking at ways to, at possible legislation to, again, try to add the PTSD onto the list of medical conditions. That's another effort that we've been involved in. I know there's an effort, or there's talks of legislation to address employment rights for patients. We're following that very closely and hope to be involved in that as well. And, you know, we've got a couple of other bills that we are looking to run. I really can't, you know, I apologize. I can't go into a lot of detail on those yet. What I encourage folks to do, obviously, we love everyone to join, but keep in touch with us, even if you're not a member. If you have questions as we come up closer to session, which starts in January, you know, or even while things are going on, you're always free to reach out to us with questions and comments.
Do you guys got a website or a phone number? You got a website,
sure,
or a phone
absolutely.
Number you can share with everybody right now?
Yeah, our website is soccc.org. And you can always reach me personally through there, through our information contact. Or even my personal email is jasonwarf@yahoo.com. And I'm always happy to chat one-on-one with anyone.
No, that's great. We, you know, thank you, because we're definitely going to need a lot of people to reach out. And I think sometimes people do want to reach out, but they just really don't know where to go, or even what to support. Because it's, if you're not used to it, if you're not, you know, spend a lot of time at the Capitol, spend a lot of time lobbying, it's confusing. I mean, I remember when I first started my lobbying day, you know, my advocacy day, you know, I'm not really a lobbyist by any means, in Georgia, it's very intimidating when you've never been to a capital, you don't know where anything is, you don't know who you should talk to, you don't know the procedures. So I definitely encourage people to reach out to you and to your organization, because I'm sure look like you'll be able to guide them and maybe give them a little rundown on which bill should they support, which bill they should not support. So one last thing I got for you today, and then, you know, if you have anything else to add, of course, feel free, but what are your wishes for next session in Colorado? Like, if things were to go exactly the way you want them to go, everything would be perfect and great. We all know it's not like that, but if things were to go your way, pretty much, or the patient's way, what would I look like? What's the wishes and the goal for next session?
Well, without giving too much away, you know,
yeah,
I would really like to see a lot of progress in the realm of patients' rights. You know, in the bigger picture, I think my biggest wish would be to get past the internal battles between organizations for us to kind of step back to a few years ago when we weren't so money motivated and we were actually able to show a united front. I think in our work at the Capitol, a lot of times the division hurts us. And in the end, you know, what's it doing? It's getting a few of the richest people in our industry a little more profit margin. And in the grand scheme of things, we're not really to that point yet. This still has to be about the patients. This still has to be about the consumers. And it has to be about keeping this legal. What a lot of people don't realize is this could be sent into a tailspin so easily. And, you know, we could go completely backwards and lose everything we've worked for. So really, I guess, point being, just to move forward in a positive, responsible direction legislatively.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think some people also believe, you know, just because it's an amendment, and Amendment 20 has been around for, 15 years now.
Sure.
They think they can take it away. And technically, yeah, it's probably right. Politically wise or legally wise, we can't take away an amendment without a vote of the people. But they can definitely do what we're trying to do now, which means changing it, changing the rule, changing a lot of things to make it harder for the people and for the patients. And so I think it's important to remind people to not – you know, not fall into the trap that it's there, it's an amendment, nothing can happen to it, and everybody's going to be fine, you know, forever.
Well, that's a great point, Sebastian. The BHO bill, and we didn't really talk about that, but basically that's a ban that was passed this past year. It's a ban on home extraction. So if you're a patient and you make your own extracts, you're now committing a felony here. That and the caregiver bill both are things that we've had in place for 15 years here with very, very little, you know, very few problems. And that's exactly right, is what's happening is they are trampling on a constitutional amendment. And that's, you know, where I stress people have to be involved and have to be diligent and let them know that, no, this is not okay. So thank you for bringing that up, I guess.
No, not a problem. Do you have a couple more minutes? Can you take a call? We have a caller in that might have a question. Is that okay with you, Jason?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So let's see if I can do this right. Caller, are you here? Can you hear us?
Yes.
All right. Can you state your name and where you're calling from?
Yes. Hi. It's Amy in Colorado. I actually have a question for Mr. Worth on the – I know that, you know, you guys were talking about all of the confusion because it seems like there are so many legal aspects to different aspects of the cannabis industry right now. And so, for example, obviously the Colorado Board of Health is the entity that once again denied PTSD for veterans as a qualifying condition. I guess that's a question, but also a statement. Is that correct?
Are you asking if it was them who actually nixed this?
Yes.
Yes, it was the Board of Health.
And this was like the third time. Were you involved in? Did you witness that? Like you've witnessed the Colorado Springs City Council attack on medical marijuana patients, and if so, what did you see? And if not, can you tell us what your general overview of that particular situation is? And if there's any hope for our veterans that Colorado is going to, you know, wise up and do what our veterans deserve and make PTSD a qualifying condition for medical marijuana patients?
Sure. First and foremost, I'll just say that this is something that we've been involved with really since our inception. It's way overdue, and it's absolutely absurd that we're still dealing with this. To give you a little background, our CDPHE has never added any conditions to the list. They've never expanded at all, and I think, again, that's kind of what we were talking about earlier with there being a different agenda there. You know, I personally was not at the last round of hearings, though my colleague was, the lady, my fellow board member who lobbies with me. I believe, and I'm being optimistic, but I truly believe that we have a very good shot this year should the legislators bring a bill that I've heard talked about. I think at this point we have enough support, and I can promise you that our organization will do everything in our power to help garner votes for this issue, to help it pass.
Well, there's actually a lawsuit, and I know it's Charles Hoban, the attorney, and there's veterans that are actually suing the state of Colorado. Is that what it's going to take? I mean, are we going to have to start suing our government for our rights?
Well, you know, we don't talk publicly all the time, and we don't go into detail, but we back a lot of lawsuits. That being said, unfortunately, sometimes when you can't get things done through the legislature, or if they do things like the caregiver bill and the BHO bill, then the only route left, if they're not going to listen to the rights of patients, is the courts. And then, you know, it's still sort of a crapshoot even going to court. You have to get the right attorney, the right judge, and yada, yada. I think that's a great effort, and then that's my personal opinion. If you look at, I believe it was Arizona where they did that. They ran legislation, but simultaneously they also filed a lawsuit. And I don't see anything wrong with that. I think that, especially with this issue, I think it's really driving the point home that, hey, we're sick of this. Charles is a great attorney. You guys are in great hands. He's actually one of our founding members. So Charles and I go way back.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, because it's confusing, and I think it's unfortunate, because the people that are our elected officials are our neighbors and our family and our friends, and yet they distance themselves in the political arena, if you will, and they have a tendency to forget just the everyday struggle of a lot of patients and
sure.
Veterans, and so we appreciate all of the efforts on the attorney's parts, because it certainly is a taboo subject. I mean, we've got presidential hopefuls saying that they're gonna change things, like Bernie Sanders, but then you've got the Federal Reserve who's stepping in and asking in Denver, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, they're asking a judge to dismiss a case for the Fourth Corner Credit Union, so that they can actually, you know, legitimize the $700 million marijuana and cannabis industry.
Oh yeah, that's a whole other hour long show, I would believe, huh, Sebastian?
Hey,
we'll have you back anytime.
Banking
is definitely a serious issue.
And that's where, as a citizen, it's just sad. So thank you both very much. I appreciate the information.
Well, thank you, Amy,
bye-bye.
Very much for calling in. Thank you. I guess we'll do that in another show. If you ever want to come back, Jason, we'll talk about the banking.
Sure,
I know it's a big problem, and not to give anybody any crazy ideas tonight, so please don't take this as me endorsing this, but I'm always really surprised, and there's not a lot more major, like, movie-type heist on dispensary, because there is so much cash in those places. Again, I'm not endorsing that. So I'm just surprised, and you hear once in a while in a robbery and things like that. But I'm just grateful,
well,
I guess.
Sort of
also surprised.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to add, and it's also a little hypocritical that our state and federal government collects, you know, tax money from these businesses, yet they won't bank with them. You know, there's a bit of absurdity there.
No, that's a good point. And I think the last thing, I'm going to bring up is people, if you're not registered to vote, make sure you do register to vote and make sure you vote, because at the end of the day, you can come to the Capitol every day. You can try to make as much changes as possible, but you got to vote to try to get cannabis-friendly people in office. So I think that's an important point also, just to make sure people are registered to vote and do go to the ballot and do vote. Jason, anything else you want to add before we let you go?
Well, I want to thank you for having me on. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I just encourage everyone to always stay vigilant and be active. Check out our organization. We're an all-volunteer 501c4. So anything, any membership or donations are always tax deductible, and we appreciate it. That keeps us in our work, if you will. You can check us out at soccc.org. And again, as I mentioned, feel free to reach out to us anytime with questions or concerns on the work that we're doing or just what's going on.
Great. Well, thank you so much again for all your input today. And let's hope people just took some good advice from this conversation and make sure they, like you say, stay vigilant, get informed, reach out, show up at the Capitol next year, and let's just make sure then we don't lose any right as patients in Colorado. Then we can keep the program going and we can keep the patient have access to their medicine. So thank you so much, Jason.
Thank you again, sir. Have a great day.
Yep, you too.
Bye.
Bye. So that was Jason Worth from the Southern Colorado Cannabis Council. I hope you guys enjoyed that. That was a really good conversation. As you can tell, Jason is on top of stuff. He really knows his stuff. And feel free to reach out to him and his organization if you get any question or if you are interested in going to the Capitol next year, for example. He can obviously really help you and help everybody that has questions. And I've been to the Capitol in Colorado a couple of times. It's, like I say, it can be an overwhelming experience, but it's great experience. Bring your kid if you have kids, if you have sick kids. You know, it's not the easiest place to get with a wheelchair. I'll give you that. But it's really important for the legislator to see the kids, to see what they're doing on a daily basis. You know, if you try to take rights away from the cannabis patient, if you're trying to do anything you're trying to do, let's show them who that affects. You know, that affects a kid, that affects a kid in a wheelchair, that affects a cancer patient. So that affects, you know, somebody that has chronic pain, whatever the case may be. The more you can get to the Capitol, get in front of your legislator, the better it will be. That's what happened in many states. That's how bills got passed in Texas. Even if it's not a great bill, it was because the patients were there all the time. That's how HB1 got passed in Georgia. Patients were literally, parents and patients and kids were literally at the Capitol every single day during session last year. That's how things got passed. Politicians tend to, you know, they live in a bubble at times, but they still need you. They still need your vote. And if you show up, they are going to listen to you, as Jason says. So do show up. Do participate. It's called a democracy for a reason, because we all have a vote. We all have a right for representation. And we might not always get the people we want elected, but if we don't follow the process and if we don't take part in the process, then we just really can complain and we can hope for better days. So register to vote. Vote. Get cannabis-friendly people in office, and let's hopefully just get the snowball rolling and rolling, and all the way to federal changes hopefully soon. Other than that, I think we are almost out of time today. We have a couple of really exciting shows coming. One will be with State Representative Alan Peak from Georgia. He's the brain behind HB1, Haley's Hope Act, the bill that is now in effect in the state of Georgia. It's a possession-only bill with a 5% THC cap, but it's not a CBD-only bill since it has a 5% THC. Also a very interesting bill because it's a bill that has two new conditions that have not been anywhere in the country before, and we love to see that. We love when states start putting new conditions. Well, let me rephrase. We love when states say, we don't want any condition in a bill. We want the doctor to decide. And fortunately, outside of D.C., Massachusetts and California, that doesn't happen. So a small price we have to pay most of the time to get a cannabis bill passed is to have condition in the bill. So when we can get new condition in the bill, that's always great, because that's something that we can use as a precedent. And last year, or this year, in HB1, Georgia passed sickle cell anemia and mitochondrial disease as a qualifying condition, as two of the 8 qualifying conditions. And those were the only state, the only first time in any state in the country when those two conditions were eligible. So we hopefully see that snowballing. You know, Illinois right now has 8 conditions into consideration that will be decided by the Board of Health director in January. A lot of them are pain related. Illinois already has, I believe, 32 conditions, so it's a state with the most condition, and they're adding condition, you know, almost on a monthly basis, which is great. But they are going to try to add PTSD and autism to the bill, which also will be kind of a first, and we can hopefully use that in different states when we try to add something. And Jason made a really good point. Amendment 20 passed in 2000 in Colorado. There's never been a condition added. There's been a ton of condition petition for in the state of Colorado, but never been one added. And PTSD this year actually was the only time a condition made it that far. To the, I believe it has to go to like 3 hearings. That was the last hearing. And usually they die before that. They don't even pass the first hearing. So PTSD made it to the last hearing, but that's it. You know, it got rejected 6-2. That was very, very sad for many veterans and many suffering of PTSD. Anyhow, thank you again so much, everybody, for listening today. So we have a show coming up with Alan Peake where we're going to talk about Georgia, we're going to talk about Texas, and a little bit about Oklahoma. And then we have a great show coming up with Sue Sisley. If you don't know who Sue Sisley is, just Google her. She's a great person. She's a doctor. She's a friend of the PTSD community. And she's just trying to help do her part and just trying to get a study going for the veteran to show everybody that cannabis can help the veteran community suffering from PTSD. And she's encountering a lot of hurdles. She got fired from her job. She lost her tenure at Arizona State University. So she always have a great perspective in things, and we have a 40-minute interview with Sue Sisley, which is really, really eye-opening. That will be broadcasting. That will be probably posted sometime this weekend or early next week on the MillenniumGrown.com website, and we'll post a link on Facebook and on our Twitter handle, which is at MillenniumGrown. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter. If you do, we will follow you back. Don't forget to vote for us at cannawards.com, CANNAWARDS.com. We would love to win. We are nominated for the most creative marketing initiative in the Colorado region, and we just love to win. That would be just awesome. And, you know, we might throw a big party if we win. So if you're in Colorado and we win, we might invite you to a big party. We have to see what happens, but we would love to do that. That would be very exciting. And lastly, I want to say once again, thank you to all our sponsors that help us with the National Cannabis Summit coverage. Over the weekend, we'll be launching the interview and the broadcast. Great stuff. Please don't miss it. If you didn't have a chance to come to this conference in Denver that took place last week, 2 weeks ago, do listen this weekend because it's great stuff. And we were only able to do that because of our sponsors. So Green Man Cannabis, American Cannabis Partner, Kenyan Cultivation, the United Patient Groups, Hemplements, Hemp Inc., Flowering Hope Foundation, Women Grown, and, of course, Wheat for Wire Project and Magical Butter. Thank you very much. And don't forget to follow Magical Butter online on Facebook and Twitter and follow the Cannonball Run, which is promoting awareness for PTSD all over the country right now. They are driving, I believe. They are. The next stop is going to be Nashville tomorrow. They should be in Nashville tomorrow. Don't know if you know Greta Gaines. She is a country singer that used to be a champion, world champion in snowboarding, and she is a cannabis user. And Greta is going to give a concert tomorrow at the Cannonball at Sentinel Park. So for the Cannonball Run, and then they will make their way to Washington D.C. and they will get there on 11. So if you are in D.C. region, please go see them on November 11 and support our veterans. After everything we do for this country, the least we can do is to try to support them in their fight of getting cannabis approved to the VA system for PTSD. Anyhow, thank you so much to everybody for listening. We will be back very soon for our next show. We have exciting shows coming up, like we say, with Alan Peake, Sue Sisley, and overview of the Republican and Democrat candidate and their view on cannabis. It's all coming up in the next month. It's a great, exciting time for Millennium Grown broadcast. We thank you so much for the support, and everybody have a great evening.